الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Respected ulama, honored guests, colleagues and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you are well aware, this conference has been arranged to recognise the work of the late scholar, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Dalkhasti rahmatullahi alayh. Throughout the day, different scholars in both Urdu and in English have been speaking about the person and the work of Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Dalkhasti rahmatullahi alayh. We are also very fortunate and honored to have in our midst and presence his son, Hazrat Maulana Fidal Rahman Dalkhasti. For those of us who aren't familiar with the work of Hazrat Dalkhasti rahmatullahi alayh, or the style of that work and its importance and significance, I'll just briefly mention that Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Dalkhasti rahmatullahi alayh was one of those rare individuals who combined scholarship in many different fields, and along with academic scholarship and credentials, he also was very active in the khidmah and in the service of Allah's religion and the people. Speaking of his knowledge, someone of the calibre of Hazrat Allama Murshid Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi was the one who actually gave him the title Hafiz al-Hadith. And he has been universally recognised by those ulama who are familiar with his work as being someone who had the unique ability of having memorized not just the verses of the Holy Quran, but also the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is an amazing feat in itself. There's a famous story about him. Once, in Al-Madinah Munawwar, he visited the Holy City as part of his Umrah trip. And learning of his arrival, many students and scholars had gathered and they requested him to say a few words about the fada'il, the virtue of the holy city of Medina. So after Isha Salah, he sat down in the presence of many students and scholars. And rather than actually giving a speech, he simply began narrating hadith, many hadith, about the virtues and the fada'il of the holy city of Medina. And his method of relating hadith was very different. Since he was a hafidh al-hadith, his method would simply be to relate with a chain of narration from each of the books. So he would relate the whole hadith, and not just the text of the hadith, but with its complete chain of transmission, with the whole sunnah. And in this manner, he sat down and for approximately 45 minutes, All he did, without actually saying any words from himself about the virtues of the holy city of Medina, is simply narrate hadith after hadith after hadith on the virtues of the holy city. Now, for those, we may not be able to fully appreciate this, but for the students of knowledge, and for the ulama also, imagine the ability of an individual to just sit down and, upon being told, to speak specifically on the topic of the virtues of the holy city of Medina. For many, it would be difficult to recall one single hadith, just the general meaning of the hadith. For an individual to sit down and spontaneously, from memory, recite verbatim, word for word, not one, not two, not three, but a collection of ahadith from different books with complete chains of narration and with the complete sunan of each author of that book stretching to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in quick succession for 45 minutes without halting or faltering. Imagine that. That is a feat in itself. And it brings to light and it brings to memory the example of the ulama of the past. And in reality, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah al-Khasri rahmatullahi alayhi was simply one example of the manner and method in which Allah has preserved the knowledge of his book and the knowledge of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this Sunnah. Many ulama have described Hazrat Maulana Abdullah al-Khasri rahmatullahi alayhi as a sign of Allah. And how is that to be understood? Now let me begin to share with you a few thoughts about this miraculous preservation of the words of Allah and the words of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what Maulana Abdullah al-Khasri rahmatullahi alayhi was. One sign amongst the signs of it. One example of the preservation and the dissemination of Islamic knowledge. How has this knowledge of both the Quran and the Hadith been preserved by Allah and spread by Allah and conveyed from one generation to the next by Allah? Who did he use? To understand this, we have to understand the preservation of the Holy Quran. And since the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a commentary of the Qur'an, since the hadith is a subject of the Holy Qur'an, since the hadith is a follow-up to the Holy Qur'an, what applies to the Qur'an applies to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the two proceed hand in hand. There can be no Qur'an without the Hadith. And there can be no Hadith without the Qur'an. Both are interdependent. One is not indispensable. Of course, one could argue that the Qur'an is independent. Indeed it is. But in order to understand the Qur'an, in order to actually make sense of the Holy Qur'an, one needs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since the Hadith is the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is indispensable to the Holy Qur'an. And the Holy Qur'an is dependent on the hadith. Not because of the words of the hadith as preserved by people who came later, but on the understanding that the hadith represent the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just send a book in book form between two covers, rather he sent it with the Holy Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why we say that the two are interdependent and the two are interreliant. Each relies on the other and they cannot be detached from each other. Now let us have a look at the Holy Quran. What does Allah say about the Quran in the Quran itself? And how has the Quran been preserved till today? Muslims believe that the preservation of the Holy Qur'an is a miracle in itself, without doubt. give you one example. There is an argument in academia that approximately a century and a half ago, there was a common belief in academic circles that there are no original manuscripts of the Holy Quran that can be traced back to the first 3 centuries of Islam. Now, this is important because the argument is that the scientific academic method of study is such that unless you have proof, unless you have evidence, unless you have documentation, we can't just take people's word for it. So the Muslims say that there is a holy Quran and that this Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that that Quran has been preserved till today, and that the Quran that the Muslims read and recite today is the same Quran that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the academic question that arose for many people was that where is the documentary evidence that the Quran existed before today? And so you can trace back manuscripts. Fine, we have an original manuscript from the 4th century. So we know that the Quran in its current form existed in the 4th century. But a claim was being made that there were no original manuscripts to be found of the Holy Quran prior to the 3rd century of Islam. And that was a common belief. Therefore, the argument was that the Quran is actually a forgery of later generations. Now, this belief continued. However, with more and more research, more and more original manuscripts of the Quran were continuously being discovered. And before I continue, I'd like to say this. For Muslims, Muslims say that our oral tradition is actually a unique one, and that the written word merely supports the oral tradition. And that's why in our oral tradition, we have the Quran stretching back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way from us. In any case, gradually, as more and more manuscripts were being discovered, people learned that no, there were original manuscripts of the Holy Quran before the 3rd century. Then the argument was that there are no original manuscripts of the Quran before the 2nd century. And year after year, the time kept on being pushed back decade by decade, until relatively recently, there was a settled opinion in academia that fine, we accept that there are original Quranic manuscripts and there is evidence of the written Quran in the 3rd century as well as in the 2nd century. But we do not find any written evidence of the Quran before the second half of the 1st century. Basically towards the late 1st century. And that was a settled opinion. And then subhanAllah, only recently, approximately 3-4 months ago, an article was published after extensive research on one manuscript of the Quran, parts of the manuscript of the Quran, and with radiocarbon dating, they've argued that the latest, so it could possibly be earlier, but not later, so it could actually be older, but at least they say that the latest that this Quran was written, and therefore we have written documentary evidence of the Quran, was during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, a mere 14 years after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, 646. 14 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world. So 24 years after Hijrah. And in just the space of a few decades, We have moved all the way from not accepting the Quran in documentary written form from the 3rd and 4th century to 14 years after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to say something else about this, in the 1930s, German Orientalists and academics, they embarked on the project of gathering the manuscripts of the Holy Quran, as many original ones as possible. And if not the original, then the pictures or the copies of the originals. A whole team of German academics embarked on this project. They devoted many resources to this. They had a whole building dedicated just to this, for gathering and storing the manuscripts. Within a short time, they had actually gathered 40,000 manuscripts of the Holy Quran, stretching back centuries. Unfortunately, the whole building and all of this whole academic project became a victim of the Second World War, so it was all lost. But it was an ongoing project, the work was still in progress. The most remarkable thing that they realized, and they actually concluded, was that out of the 40,000 manuscripts of the Holy Quran, imagine 40,000 distinct, separate manuscripts of the Quran, there was no difference between the written, read Quran by the Muslims all over the world today and the 40,000 manuscripts at least. What that shows is that for the Muslims, the oral tradition is just as important as the written tradition. And in fact, the written tradition is a support for the oral tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذًا لَّارْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. Allah says, addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, you were not one to write, you were not one to read any book before the revelation of the Quran to you, nor could you write with your right hand. If that was the case, that you could write and you could read, and you had been doing so till now, then those who seek to create and spread falsehood, they would have surely doubted, i.e. they would have had a reason to doubt you. But the miracle is that you are illiterate. You cannot read, you cannot write. And then you produce the Holy Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something further, which is relevant to what we are saying. What is the Quran? Allah says, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. May it, meaning the Qur'an, is a collection of clear verses where, on paper, with ink, in between two covers, bound in a book. No. فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. In the hearts of those who have been given instruction. Meaning Allah has preserved His Qur'an in the hearts and in the minds, and from the heart, and Allah has conveyed the Quran from heart to heart rather than from paper, pen, ink, and book to book. That is the method of Islam. And in having said that about the Holy Quran, this is why, how has Allah preserved the Holy Quran? Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we have revealed the remembrance, the admonition, the Holy Quran. And most assuredly, we will guard it. How has Allah guarded the Qur'an? Not through pen and paper, but miraculously, Allah has guarded the Qur'an through the hearts of His ummah, and not just the ulama, but the men, women, old, and especially young children. In any given city, even here, you will find countless young children who have memorized the Qur'an. And that is a miracle in itself. Imagine, pick any language that we speak, and forget anyone else's written words, our own words, attest any individual in their chosen mother tongue, in their chosen preferred language, write a few sentences, write two paragraphs. These are your words. This is your little poem, your own story, your own anecdote, your own little essay, just one or two paragraphs. Nobody else in the world knows this. This is something that your mind has produced, and having written down a few sentences or one paragraph, try to memorize it, and try to remember it, and see how long you remember it for. Very few people in the world can remember their own words in poetry, in couplets, in a single paragraph. How many of us can remember telephone rings? And compare that to the Holy Quran. Here we have a child. Take any child from any maktab, any kuttab, any madrasa, any masjid, any village in any part of the world. This child does not even understand what wow one letter of the Quran means. He doesn't understand, forget the words, he does not even understand what one single letter of the Quran means. Take that child, 5, 6, 7 years old. The child has never read Arabic, never understood Arabic, still does not understand a word, and yet, within a short time, for some people a year, for some people 2 years, and the ulama would know that the average is 2.5 years. In 2.5 years, in any part of the world, a child will memorize the entire Holy Quran. Thousands of verses, hundreds of pages, and a whole book in a language whose a single letter they are unable to understand. And not only do they memorize the book, but they remember it. They are able to read from it, repeat it, recall it. And that's not one child who we can pose as an example. That's one child out of not thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions throughout the world, possibly hundreds of millions. Without exaggeration. That is a miracle in itself. That is the miraculous preservation of the Holy Quran. And since, as I mentioned earlier, the Sunnah is attached to the Holy Quran. The Quran represents the words of Allah, and the Hadith represent the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has miraculously preserved the Hadith just as He miraculously preserved the Holy Quran. And He preserved it. How? In books? No, again. Just like Allah preserved the Quran in the bosoms of men who have been given knowledge, Allah preserves the knowledge of this deen and ilm, not in books, but rather, not even in data, but rather in the hearts of men. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima, both relate a hadith from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiyallahu anhu, who says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض هذا العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ما يقبضه بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنهما relates this hadith. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to the words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ. Allah does not take away this knowledge by snatching it, in that He snatches it from the hearts of His servants. No. Allah does not remove this knowledge by removing knowledge itself. إِنَّمَا يَقْبِضُهُ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. Allah merely removes knowledge by removing the ulama. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِي عَالِمًا. Until that Allah does not spare any alim, i.e. in any given place or in any given time, اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُسًا جُهَالًا. People take the ignorant as leaders. فَسُئِلُوا. So these ignorant ones are asked. فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. So these ignorant leaders, they reply without knowledge, and thus they err and go astray themselves and they lead others astray. I've just translated the whole hadith. The lesson from the hadith for us is that Allah preserves the knowledge of both the Quran and the hadith, and in general the knowledge of Islam. How? Not by books, not by pen and paper and ink, but rather through the hearts of the ulama. And Allah reduces and removes this knowledge from the ummah, which is one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. How? By removing knowledge? No. To the contrary, we see a proliferation of knowledge. More books, more data, more information available now than ever in the history of Islam. And yet, true knowledge is disappearing. with the disappearance of ulama. I end here. As I said earlier, I began by mentioning that this whole conference has been in order to, well, has been arranged to recognise the work of one of the great scholars of the recent past, someone who was an example of the preservation and the dissemination of Islamic knowledge, Hafidh al-Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah al-Khasri rahmatullahi alayhi. I pray that we as students and students of their students, we are able to appreciate the work of the ulama and benefit from it. Wa sallallahu sallam ala abdihi wa رسول نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك اللهم